In Psalm 142, David is in a cave. He's probably, as much as I can research and find out, some think he may have been at En Gedi, but it's more likely that he was in the cave of Adullam. He said, as he prays in the cave, he said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily or privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low." Anybody ever been brought very low in your life? I'm glad when we're brought low, we have a lifter up of our soul. Amen. He said, "I was brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You this morning for the privilege to be here in the house of the Lord. And Lord, there's a text in front of us that as we examine, we pray will speak to our hearts. God, I pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, through the ministry of the internet and through the ministry, Lord, of the CDs that can be given away, Lord, that You'll take this series of messages, God, that You'll use it for Your glory. Lord, we ask You, Father, today to, Lord, help those that are here, and God, help us to remember those that can't be here for whatever the reason. God, I pray today that You'd clothe us in our calling. God, we need Your help. As the songwriter said, we need Thee every hour. I like the line, Lord, that said, "Most precious Lord, Lord, unto You, therefore, that believe, He is precious." God, we praise You today, Lord, for the privilege to meet with Your people. God, we love You in Jesus' name. Stir us, we pray. Amen and amen. We've been, for the last couple of weeks, looking at a subject in the book of Psalms where the psalmist four times uses a phrase, "when my heart or when my spirit was overwhelmed within me." David, we know he was a man after God's own heart. We know that David had a heart, we found out in Sunday school, that was tender towards the things of God. David's heart was not hard. Amen. There was a season in his life, I guess along about a year, that he tried to hide his sin. But when faced with the truth, when Nathan came toe to toe with him, his heart was broken again. Amen. And he realized that as he cried out in Psalm 51, "Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight." I appreciate men like David in the Word of God. I tell you, I want to stop and say this morning, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad God's not writing a book about my life. I'm glad He's not exposing everything about my life for the whole world to read. Say amen right there. But I'm glad He gives us men that we can understand His weaknesses. We can understand His what's troubling it and what's overwhelming His spirit at times. And here we began with the series with the subject, "Lead Me to the Rock." In Psalm 61, He said, "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." When we're overwhelmed in our spirit, and when things are not going well, amen, we need Jesus, amen. And we need to get to the rock. And we need to remember that though the world is reeling back and forth and tossing and turning, thank God we have a solid foundation, amen. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So regardless of the storm, You can be led to the rock, and the rock will help us. Amen. And then we saw that in this series of messages where David preaches out of Psalm 77, and it says, cause me to remember. If we'll be honest, when things are not going well, we're prone to forget all the goodness of God, and we're prone to forget all the blessings of God, and we're prone to forget that it could be much worse than what it really is. You know something? I just think in my spirit right now, watching my mother go out to be with Jesus. You say, preacher, how could it have been any worse? My mother could have died unprepared. Amen. Oh, how it would hurt this morning to stand here and think that my mother was not prepared to meet God. But it was good. We had comfort. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. The comfort of the Bible. Why? Because Mama trusted in the God of heaven. Amen. And so it doesn't matter our situation. It could always be a little bit worse. Cause me to remember. And then we got a little bit out of order. And Charity, while I was sitting there on the front bench, honey, you know, I usually would have preached this message first. And then Psalm 143. But for some reason, God wanted Psalm 143 and then this message out of Psalm 142. And as I stood there this morning, or sat there and listened to the singing, God is my refuge. Does anybody know what the title to the last message is? When my heart is overwhelmed, I need a refuge. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is saying right here in Psalm 142. And not only is Psalm saying, the psalmist saying, I need a refuge, but if you will read through this and look at it with me this morning, his heart is crying out, I need thee every hour. It was dark in that cave. He was alone in that cave. You know, there was a time when 100 or 400 men are going to get together. They're David's mighty men. But at this time, he didn't have them by his side. He looked on his right hand. He said, there was no man that cared for my soul. At this time, he's alone. And I'll tell you, sometimes some things happen in our life, and we get to feeling pretty low. And we get to feeling pretty alone in life. Amen? But thank God there's a God in heaven that can minister to us in our loneliness and in our loneliness. I'm reminded of something that I heard years ago, and that is this. A man said this, and it stuck in my heart. He said, a preacher that will preach to the hurting will never lack a congregation. A preacher that will preach to the hurting will never lack a congregation. I thought about Brother Brian as you taught Sunday school, and that dear brother that was on fire. Amen. That's what I take from it. Amen. He got up in the morning looking forward to the day. Amen. I wonder how many hurting people that dear brother encountered in his life and was able to lift them just a little bit in their spirits. Amen. As he would go up to them and say, boy, it's a good day, isn't it? Isn't it a blessed day? Hadn't God been good? Amen. Hadn't God been good? I tell you, this morning, I prayed like it was, we preached on Wednesday night, that we could leave here and say this has been a good place to be. Amen. Or Sunday night, I believe it was, last Sunday night. So here we are, probably in the cave of Adullam with David. His heart is overwhelmed and he needs a refuge. Let me give you a couple of things real quickly this morning. Sometimes our heart is overwhelmed as a result of our own sin. Amen? Can anybody say amen right there? Sometimes it's choices we've made, things that we've done, seed that we've sown, amen, that causes us to be overwhelmed in our spirit. But at this particular point in time, this is not the case with David. David is in this cave not as a result of his own sin, but as a result of the sin of another. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Saul. Saul is angry. Saul is jealous. And Saul wants to kill him. You remember when Saul threw the javelin at him, amen, and would love to have pinned him to the wall. You say, well, preacher, David had an enemy. Yes, he did. But let me remind you of something. You and I do too. Amen. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, as we think about that, you say, preacher, well, how could mine be a result of somebody else's sin? Well, I'll tell you something right now. Every time our heart is overwhelmed,
If it's not a result of our own sin, it's always a result of sin. Somebody say amen. Adam's sin has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. I talked to my father last week, and I'm not at liberty. I'll just ask you to pray for the lady. She's a very private lady, is acquainted with our family, and they went in to do surgery, and they found a mass, and they just sewed her back up. They said it's stage 4, and there's nothing we can do. And Daddy said, son, he said, pray for not only her, but her husband. You say, why would Daddy make a prayer request like that? How many knows why? Amen. Because Daddy knows what that man's going through right now. Amen. Looking at his precious wife and realizing her days are numbered. It's just going to be a little while, and he's going to be alone. Amen. In this world. And there are people here today that know exactly what that is. Amen. But thank God we have a refuge in times like that. Amen. That we can turn to. We don't have to, my friend, go through it alone. Our Lord, our God, is our refuge. Let me say this morning. I do thank the Lord this morning for your presence. I thank the Lord for His presence. But let me give you just a couple of things right here out of this text that I believe will be a blessing to you. Look here, if you will, in verse number 4. In verse number 5, I hope I'm not getting what's going around, but I'm just as subject to it as anybody else is. Amen. I've got a frog right now that's got 8 legs, and I'd like to spit him out and let him croak somewhere else. Amen. I'd like to have frog legs for dinner. Amen. But I believe this morning God will help us. If you'll pray, the Lord will help us. Look in verse 4. He said, I looked on my right hand, and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Watch this now. He said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now, I had a problem with this years ago when I studied it. I'm just kind of introducing the lesson right now, the message. But in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Now, in the English language, I'm not here to correct the Bible. When it seems like there's a contradiction, then what we need to do is just study. And we need to pray. Amen? You see, in verse number 4, he said, refuge failed me. In verse number 5, the psalmist, Brother Gale, said, thou art my refuge. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I have a problem with anybody that would say God failed them. Because I'll tell you this, I've failed Him many times. But thank God Almighty, He's never failed me. Amen? And so what's going on here? I can remember studying this, and I was in a little office down in Carter's Valley. I can remember saying, Lord, I don't understand. The psalmist said refuge failed him. And in the next verse, he said, thou art my refuge. And after I looked up just the two words, the Hebrew words for refuge, there's two different words being used here. In the first text, in verse number 4, It's a Hebrew word, and I'm doing my best. You would call it Manasseh. And what that word means there, when he said, refuge failed me, remember where he is. Somebody tell me where he is. He's in a cave. He's in a dark place. He's alone. He's hiding. Amen? So when he says, refuge failed me, it comes from that word Manasseh, and what it means is a way out. A way to escape. A way to flee. David is saying, here I am, and there's no way out. The enemy's right out there waiting for me. Amen. And I have to stay put. Amen. I have to stay where I am. There's no way out. Let me say this to you. I thank God. Listen, God just gave me this. I thank God that there's times when God delivers us from the circumstance. Amen. But I thank God when He doesn't deliver us from the circumstance, He will deliver us through the circumstance. Amen. I believe with all of my heart we need to remember that. So here's David. He said, refuge failed me. I looked on my right hand. No man cared for my soul. And he said, there's no way out. Here I am. I can't get out. The second word for refuge, in verse number 5, he said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It comes from a word, not Manasseh, but Makatseh. And it means a shelter, a covert in the storm, a hiding place. What David was saying is, there's no way out of this cave. There's no way to escape. There's no way to flee. But God is my refuge. He's my shelter. He's my hiding place. He's a cove or a covert in the storm. I can remember being in the Chesapeake Bay years ago with Patrick Seidel and his father. He was 10 years old and I was 10 years old. They had a sailboat and we sailed all the way from up there in Harford County, Maryland, down below the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. And I'm telling you, you might as well have been in the ocean. I mean, you couldn't see land on either side. It's a big old bay. Amen. The Chesapeake Bay is. And I can remember how the water was choppy and how it would rock that sailboat back and forth. He had that sail up there and we took off. And all of a sudden on the way back, I seen him we were just going straight and he just started veering off to one side. And I thought, what in the world are they doing? And I said, Patrick, what's your daddy doing? Where are we going? He said, we're going over here into a cove. And I'm telling you, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand what we were going to see in that cove. But we got out of that choppy water, brother. And I'm telling you, it was just smooth. Amen. In that cove, the water was calm. It was blocked from the wind. It was blocked from the influences that was making the bay choppy. And I'm telling you, that and them boys, they peeled out of their t-shirt and dove in there and went swimming. You say, what did you do? I didn't peel out of my t-shirt. It didn't have anything to do with standards. Say amen. I couldn't swim. Amen. I was scared to death. Amen. But the whole point of telling you that was, while that big body of water was all choppy and stormy, thank God there was a place, a little cove in the land. Amen. Can I tell you that our God's always got a place for His children where we can hide? Amen. When the storm's raging. Always a hiding place. Thou art my refuge. In that refuge, we're going to see a couple of things this morning. Number one, we're going to see the heart's cry. David is going to cry out. I didn't pick up on this years ago when I studied for this message, but every one of these Psalms, Psalm 62, Psalm 77, Psalm 142, and Psalm 143, David is crying out to God. He's crying out to God. I don't know about you, but I believe we do some better crying, amen, in the storms of life than we do when things are smooth sailing, amen. He's crying out to God. We see the heart's cry. Several things here. David was honest. David was honest. The Bible said here, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord, I did make my supplication. We see that he was honest with God. Can I tell you something this morning? You might as well go ahead and be honest with God. God already knows where we are. God already knows what we need. God already knows how to deliver us. And we need to learn to be honest. I believe with all of my heart that when we cry out to God from our heart, we can be honest. And then David was heard. The Lord heard him. I tell you, the Bible tells us over there, he said, this poor man cried. Hallelujah. And the Lord heard me, amen, and delivered me out of my trouble. When is the last time you can say, hey, I know, I was honest with God, and I know God heard my prayer, and God helped him, amen. The Bible said here, not only in the heart's cry was he honest, and was he heard, but thank the Lord, he was helped. God helped him, amen. And guess what? God will help you and I. When we get honest with Him, amen. When we get honest with God, God will help us. When we cry out to God, we see the heart's cry. Notice this, I want you to see this, the heart's complaint. I don't believe this is a complaint, like you go down to Walmart at the service desk and complain, amen. Or like you go into the average Baptist church and complain. I don't believe this is that kind of complaining, amen. But watch what the Bible said here. He said, I poured out my complaint before Him. I believe what this is talking about is David is making his case. David is just pouring out. And listen, I like this. Listen to these words, poured out. Poured out. Have you ever prayed till you felt like you was poured out? And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've all used the statement, he poured out his heart to God. I tell you something, when you pour it out, ain't nothing left. Ain't nothing to hide, amen. You just pour it all out there, amen. And I believe David, when he poured out his complaint to the Lord, there was nothing left. It was all revealed to God, and there was nothing held back. Not only did he pour it out, but he poured it out in the right place. He poured it out before him. Listen, a lot of us, if we're not careful, I'm not picking this morning, but we'll pour it out to our wife, or we'll pour it out to our children, or we'll pour it out to our mother, or pour it out to our father. But he got his help when he poured it out to God. When he poured it out to the one that could do something about it. I love my wife, but I learned something early on in the ministry. Amen. She's a wonderful pastor's wife. I tell you, a man in Rogersville made this comment a while back. I'm going to go ahead and make it. You say you're going to brag on your wife? Yeah, I am. And you're going to listen if you sit there another 10 seconds. Amen. A man made this statement. He said, I believe when it said pastor's wife in the dictionary, he said, I believe Miss Eve's picture ought to be right alongside of it. I said, hallelujah, brother. Amen. I have a wonderful wife. But I've learned some things. Brother Wayne, I can't pour it out to her. Amen. It's more than she can bear at times. But thank God Almighty, I have a Savior. It's never been more than He can bear. Amen. He's the one that knows. He's the one that understands. And David said, there I am. I'm alone. And I'm lowly. I'm experiencing loneliness and lowliness. But pour it out to the one who can help me. Amen. Thank God this morning. Thank God we see the heart's cry, the heart's complaint poured out before Him, and He was alone. God knew where He was. God knew what He needed. No wonder the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Anybody need some mercy this morning? And find grace to help in a time of need. Anybody in a time of need? Anybody know someone that's in a time of need? Oh, I tell you this morning, thank God there's a place where we can pour out the heart's cry and the heart's complaint. But look here at the heart's condition. You say, preacher, why is this important? Notice in verse number 6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. What is the condition of his heart? He's humble. He's full of humility. Amen. How many knows what happens when the Lord hears the cry of the humble? You know, if Brother Gale is crying out humbly to God and I would represent the Lord, I'm not going this way as he's crying out. What the Bible say? He said, I will draw near to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. It ain't going to be long. I'm not going to be near. I'm going to just pick him up. Say amen. He said, why don't you go ahead and pick Brother Gale up? There's several reasons for that this morning. Amen. And the biggest one is I've got a bad back, brother. Amen. We won't talk about the other reasons. Amen. But thank God this morning we have a Savior that can come to us, draw near to us, pick us up, and carry us. Amen. When we can no longer carry on ourselves. David could not make it without him. David was brought very low. The condition of his heart. I'll tell you something. I believe there's hope for a revival in America. But it's not in our ability. I believe we ought to study the Bible. But it's not in our education or our understanding of the Bible. Amen. I believe we ought to pray. But I tell you what, I believe where the revival is going to be found. When we're brought very low. When we can depend on Him again. Amen. I'm glad for everybody that's making it well in life. I'm so glad. Amen. I'm making it well in life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I've got clothes on my back. I've got food to eat. I've got friends in this world, and I've got a home in heaven when I leave this world. Amen. You say, preacher, you're well off. Oh yes, I'm more well off than you'll ever know. Amen. I believe with all of my heart this morning, David in that cave, his heart's condition, he was brought low. Jesus, the Bible said, humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. And when you and I humble ourselves, we'll become obedient to whatever God wants us to do. And that is revival. The heart's cry. The heart's complaint. The heart's condition. And then finally this morning in closing, the heart's consolation. All of this is not going to happen without business picking up between this man and his God. Look in verse number 7. The Bible said here in verse 6, they're stronger than I. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. How many knows that some of those habits are stronger than we are? Come on now, say amen. How many knows that some of those tendencies are stronger than we are? Amen. And so we need help. That's what David said. My persecutors are stronger than I. He said, bring my soul out of prison. Why? Why? He said, here I am. I'm in this cave. I feel like I'm locked up. Lord, would you bring me out of here? Because I want to praise your name. And he said, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You know, in verse number 5, we see the consolation of the heart. David is saying right here in verse number 5, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. The songwriter said it like this, Jesus Christ is all to me, all I need, all I need. Charity and Laura sang in the song a while ago, God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower I can run to. God is my refuge. The consolation now is that we have a God that will draw near to us, and He is all we need. Look in verse 7. Not only is there a consolation now, but there's a consolation in the future. Watch in verse number 7. Bring my soul out of prison. Let me ask you something right now. How many realizes in Romans 8 that the whole creation is groaning and travailing? Can't wait, Brother Grizzle, to get out of here. Can't wait to be loosed from the influences of sin. The creation. Well, let me ask you something. If the whole creation is groaning, don't you think that the children of God, there ought to be something down inside of us that's groaning and longing? Amen. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah that the trees of the field will clap their hands. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Oh, the Bible said it. I believe it. Amen. I believe when that curse is lifted, the Bible said no more curse. I believe, hallelujah, the trees of the field will clap their hands. I believe there'll be some Baptists clapping their hands too. Amen. And saying, glory to God. We're out of prison now. We're home with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. David had a consolation. Not only now, he is my refuge. He's my hiding place. He's my covert in the storm. But he had a consolation in the future. I don't know about you, but I believe the old ship of Zion is fixing to sail into the harbor. Amen. And thank God. The Bible said round about the throne was likened to a sea of glass. I believe a tadpole's afraid to jump. Say amen. Ain't even a ripple. Amen. I tell you, glory to God. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day! What a glorious day that will be. What a consolation for the people of God. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 34 for just a moment. I'm winding her down. Psalm 34. Listen to what the psalmist David said here. He said, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now watch this. He said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. How we respond in the caves of life is going to have an effect on somebody else. He said, the humble will hear thereof and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Look at Psalm chapter 13 for just a minute. Psalm chapter 13. David said we need to bless the Lord at all times. He said, oh, would you come? Would you magnify the Lord with me? You see what happens sometimes. You remember that illustration in that last message? Remember that illustration where we used that plan over there? Amen. Sometimes what we do is magnify our situation instead of magnifying our Savior. We need to magnify the Savior when our heart is overwhelmed. Look at it with me in verse number 1, in verse of chapter 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy, I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Watch this. I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I'm wondering in that cave. You remember Paul and Silas, don't you? You remember their cave? The innermost prison. They put them way back in there. I've actually been in one of those prisons over there in Philippi. And it was down deep. It was dark. There was water running through the basement. It was damp. It was dark. It was nasty. Amen. They had those rings hewn out in that rock where a man would stick his hands in there and they would stand there in that darkness and in that mess. And that's where they locked Paul and Silas up. He said, oh, preacher, what happened? How many knows what happened? Amen. I tell you, they began to magnify the Lord. They didn't magnify their situation. They didn't magnify their stripes. They magnified the Savior, and God showed up and shook the place. I believe that's what will happen in your situation if you'll magnify Him. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. Why don't we just say, Lord, you trusted me with this trial. You trusted me with this situation. When my heart is overwhelmed, why don't we run to the Lord instead of running from Him? Why don't we just ask Him that He might be our hiding place, that He might be the one that would help us, deal bountifully with us, and help us to find a song in the night. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is our refuge, a strong and mighty tower that we can run to. Sometimes when our heart is overwhelmed, we forget, lead me to the rock, cause me to remember, teach me to do right. Preacher, I don't feel like doing right. You're in good company. Say amen right there. You're in real good company. I believe that with all of my heart. And then I need a refuge when my heart is overwhelmed. The heart's cry, the heart's complaint, the heart's condition. But thank God there's a consolation for the heart that will wait upon the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem, Sister Joy, so small when we see Him. I'll guarantee it. Paul said, for I reckon, that's what made me think he was from the South. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Hallelujah, people. When our heart is overwhelmed, we need a refuge. I'll just say this. This is the house of God. When your heart's overwhelmed, that ain't time to start skipping the house of God.
Amen.
That Bible we heard about in Sunday school. That ain't time to start skipping our Bible. That prayer life, that ain't time to stop praying. Man, that's time to set the altar on fire. Amen. That's time to just knuckle down and say, listen, I'm going to the house of God. I don't feel like it, but I'm going anyway. I'm going to pray. I don't feel like it, but going to pray anyway. I'm going to read my Bible. I don't feel like it. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to tell them anyway. And God will come along. The first thing you know, that complaint that's been poured out before Him will turn into rejoicing. Always remember this. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. You take it to Calvary. I'll guarantee you, in the light of Calvary, it'll get lighter in a moment of time when we get it in His presence. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You this morning for our dear people that have come for the Word of God today. Lord, David's heart was overwhelmed. Though he was a man after God's own heart, these four times in the Bible, his heart, his spirit was overwhelmed within him. God, this morning, I think of the dear lady, Lord, with the mass. When they heard from the doctor last week how that lady's heart is hurting and her husband is hurting. God, it's my prayer this morning. Lord, the many on our prayer list, God, that are hurting, it's my prayer that we would never forget, Lord, where our hiding place is, where our refuge is. God, I pray that we would be a church that would, Lord, not just once in a while, but constantly bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ.